continue to focus on God. We're going to open up our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 11, verses 27, and it goes all the way to chapter 12, verse 7. This is what it says. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father, Terah, in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offering I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Amen. Well, this morning's message, Pastor titled it, Go From Your Country and Your Kindred, Believing the Promise of the God of Glory. Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning! Good morning! It is indeed a good morning because Abram lived. And because he lived, we can now live in Jesus Christ today. Today we embark on a journey of examining the life of the Father of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the man named Abraham. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, devotes much of its space, nearly 15 chapters of the 50 chapters in the book, to the life of this great man of faith. Abraham, or Abram, as he is known at the beginning of his life, was not a perfect man. No man is perfect other than the God-man, Jesus Christ. But Abraham is revealed in Scripture as one of the most faithful men to ever live, and a man chosen by God to be the first set apart for his purposes of forming a people that was set apart for his name. In the first verse of the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew, the book introduces us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that Jesus is recorded as the son of David, the son of Abraham. The genealogy in that book begins with the very same man, Abraham, who was the father of Isaac. Jesus himself was a Jewish man, and he descended from the first Jewish man, Abraham, that we see his birth in our text today. Abram's birth and the life that follows are not just important to the Jewish believer in Christ who honors the Old Testament scriptures. They are easily understood as the foundation of the Christian faith itself. Without Abraham, there would not be the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The providence of God that led Jesus, the Son of God, to become man flows back to the life of Abram here in Genesis. Abram's faith in the promise of God is faith in the God who would keep those promises in the work of his Son, Jesus, the Messiah of Abram. So let us pray and get to the text. Dear Lord, Father, you chose Abram. You chose this man who had nothing to set him apart other than the fact that he was created by you in your image, Father. There was pretty much nothing special about Abram or his family. Father, they were worshipers of false gods. They did not know you. Father, they were not particularly righteous before you called Abram. Father, he was not living in obedience to your law, to your word. He did not know your word. In fact, there was no written scriptures at all during the time of Abram. If he knew anything about you, it would only be secondhand. Abram was a man who did not know you and was not especially righteous and worshipped false gods, Father, as I just said. Father, yet you chose him. You called him. And what was special about him is that when you called him out of his family, out of his homeland, he went. He obeyed. He followed you when he heard your voice, when he met you, Father. And throughout his life, he continued to be a sinner. Father, he was not a perfect man. But he was righteous by faith. He believed the promise that you gave him, and he went out and followed you with everything he had, Father. And you forgave his sin as he trusted in you for that forgiveness, Father. Just like Abraham, we are not special. Father, we are sinners. All of us who sit in this room today, anyone who watches this live stream knows or should know that they are a sinner. And we do not deserve your grace. We do not deserve your favor. We do not deserve your promises. Father, yet you make them to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that if we will look to him and believe in him and what he has done, then not only might we be saved, but we might also receive the power to obey you as Abram did. Father, all through our trust, our faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done. Abram had faith in you, faith in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, and you gave him the power to obey, Father, and you gave him the forgiveness of his sins. So let us look at his life today and in the coming weeks and see how he believed in you, and even how his wife, Sarai, later called Sarah, she believed in you too. Father, though they struggled, they believed. Father, let us look at their life and believe in you as well. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We open with Joshua 24, verse 2, which sets the stage for our story in Genesis. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods. After God scattered the people of Babel, there were many generations of peoples living in different lands. One of these people, a descendant of Noah and his family, as all the people were descendants of Noah and his family, one of these people was named Terah. There was nothing special to distinguish Terah from the other people of the earth. He was not known as a man of great faith. In fact, him and his family served other gods. They were idol worshipers." So we turn to Genesis 11, 27 through 30. The beginning of Terah's life. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. And Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor, his sons, took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah fathered three sons named Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran had a son named Lot. So Terah had one grandchild before Haran died in their homeland, the Chaldeans. Both of Terah's other sons, Abram and Nahor, got married so that Terah had two daughter-in-law. Abram's wife was named Sarai, and Nahor's wife was named Milcah. Milcah was the daughter of Haran, and she was also Nahor's, her husband's, niece. This kind of interfamily marriage was not uncommon in these days. Abram's wife, Sarai, was not able to have children because she was barren. Thus, Abram had no heir in his family, no son to receive his inheritance or to continue his family name. Genesis 11, 31 through 32 goes on. Terah took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Before Terah died, he took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, along with Abram's wife Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and they all went together out of the land of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But they stopped in a place called Haran and settled there until Terah died. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now it gets good. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In the Hebrew, verse 1 here literally says that the Lord had previously said these things to Abram. So Abram had heard from God before they had left the land of the Chaldeans. That is why Abram had gone with his father Terah from there and begun his journey to the land of Canaan. God had spoken to Abram and told him to go from his country, the land of the Chaldeans, out from among his family and his father's house to a land that God would show him. Abram did not know where this land was or what it was called, only that God would show it to him. Then God promised Abram that he would make of him a great nation, and that he would bless him and make Abram's name great. And Abram would be a blessing to others. Furthermore, those that blessed Abram would be blessed by God, and those who dishonored Abram would be cursed by God. In the end, all the people of the earth would be blessed because of Abram. Genesis 12, 4 through 6. So Abram went. He went. That's what God told him to do, so he went, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And he took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. When God commanded Abram to go and do this, Abram did as God had told him. He believed God and he obeyed God. And Abram took his nephew Lot with him. When Terah, Abram's father, died, Abram was 75 years old, and he departed from the land of Haran for the land of Canaan. Abram took along his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, along with all their possessions and the people who served him in Haran, and went to Canaan where God had called him to go. Abram and all those with him arrived in a place called Shechem, near the oak of Moreh, and there were Canaanite people in the land. We look at Acts 7, verses 2 through 4, for a different perspective on this. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you.' Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land, the land of Israel, in which you are now living. One of the disciples of Jesus during the time of the early church, after Jesus' resurrection, recounts to others the story of Abram, or as we know him, Abraham. Our God, the God of glory, appeared to Abram while he was still living in the land of the Chaldeans, which was in ancient Mesopotamia. This was before Abram lived in Haran. God had told Abram to go out from the land where him and his family lived and go into the land that he would show him. That had been when Terah had left the Chaldeans with Abram to live in the land of Haran. And when Terah had died, God had directed Abram out of Haran and into the land of Canaan, which is where the people of Israel lived, the promised land. Acts 7:5 goes on about what happened when Abram got there. Yet God gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession to his offspring after him, though he had no child. But when Abram arrived in Canaan, there was no inheritance from God when he got there, not even a small inheritance. Instead of giving Abram the inheritance that he promised right away, God promised Abram that he would receive it in the future as a possession for him and his offspring after him. But Abram had no child, and Sarai was barren. Still, Abram believed in the promise of God, even though he could not see it. Genesis 12, verses 7 through 9, continues the story. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So Abram built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built another altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Here in Genesis, we see that the Lord appeared to Abram and spoke to him directly, promising to Abram that he would give the promised land to Abram's offspring, meaning his descendants. Abram responded in faith by building an altar to God in the place where he had appeared to him. Abram continued to travel to the east of the place known as Bethel and built another altar so that he could call on the name of God there before traveling further. Abram had great faith in God that he would fulfill his promise to him. He hadn't seen that promise. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 introduces us to the chapter on faith. A definition of faith is given here at the beginning. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old, like Abram, received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe around us was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Here in the book of Hebrews, we see the definition of faith. Faith is being assured, trusting in the promise of the things that we hope for from God. When we have faith, we are convicted that the things that we cannot see really are there. We are convinced that God is not only able to keep his promises to us, that he will not break those promises because he always speaks the truth. Even though we cannot see what God is promising, we fully believe that it exists and that he will give it to us. We believe this because we understand by faith that God is the one who created the universe itself by his infinitely powerful word, and that everything we can see was made out of the things that we cannot see. The things that we cannot see are just as real as the things we can see, and God has the power to fulfill his promises with the same power that created the universe, the power of his word. Hebrews 11:8, a few verses later, speaks of Abraham, who had this kind of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Because of Abram's faith, he obeyed God when he was called to leave his homeland, going to a place he did not know where he was going to receive an inheritance. Even though he did not know where he was going or how he would receive the promise of God, Abram still went where God was commanding him to go because he had faith that God could and would fulfill his promise to him. Genesis 12, 10 through 13, the story continues. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. He still doesn't know where he's going, but he's going because God told him to go. So when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. So say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. During Abram's journey, there was a severe famine in the land. Because there was no food, Abram sought to travel to Egypt, where there might be more food for him and his family. But Abram became worried that the Egyptians would see the beauty of his wife Sarai and murder him in order to have his wife as their own. So Abram devised a deception to protect himself from the Egyptians. Deception and lying, as we have learned, are never righteous. Satan is the father of lies, and God is the God of all truth. God himself never lies to anyone or deceives them. So when Abram devised this deception, he was sinning against the Egyptians and against God. But Abram was not righteous because of a perfect record of righteousness before God, but because of his faith in the promise of God. None of us have always been perfectly honest and truthful with others, especially when we feel threatened by them in some way, as Abraham did with the Egyptians. Lying and deception are serious sins, and the punishment for serious sin is eternal hell. Abram was a sinner like the rest of us, and because he was a sinner, he deserved the punishment of God like all of us do. He was no different than the people of the world in Noah's day. He was no different than Noah, who ended his life in sin. But God chose Abram and chose to bless him, even though Abram sinned against him. When God chose Abram and called him out of his pagan, idol-worshiping lifestyle, Abram knew nothing of his true God. And even after God chose Abram, Abram continued to struggle with sin. But God offered Abram salvation from the penalty of hell through faith in the promise of a coming Messiah, a coming Savior in Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a perfectly righteous and sinless life that we have not lived. But when Abram and us trust in the life that Jesus lived, our faith in him can be counted as righteousness for us. By believing the promise of God in the life of Jesus Christ, we can be saved from the penalty of our sin. Then Jesus went to the cross and took the punishment that Abram deserves, the punishment that we deserve. And Jesus satisfied the wrath of God that is the punishment for our sin. Abram believed the promise of his God that he would forgive his sin and bless him in every way, even though he did not deserve God's blessing, the blessing of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would come in the future to secure the promises that God made to Abram, the promises that God makes to us if we will believe in Jesus. But Abram's faith and obedience that came through that faith was only possible because of the power of God to move his heart to obey God. God secured this power for Abram and for us by raising his son from the dead 3 days after he died on the cross. When Abram believed that God could give him the power to obey his commandments through faith in him, God did give Abram the righteousness he needed to obey. We can have the power to obey God through our faith in the resurrection power of Jesus. We believe in a God who has the power to raise the dead, and he has raised his son and spiritually raised everyone who believes in him in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter is coming soon, and we will talk about the faith of Abraham in the God who has the power to raise the dead. Genesis 12, 14 through 17. The story goes on. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman, Sarai, was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And Abram had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. As Abram had predicted, the Egyptians saw that his wife Sarai was a very beautiful woman. The princes under the Pharaoh praised her beauty to Pharaoh. And because Pharaoh thought that Sarai was unmarried, he committed sin against Abram by taking his wife Sarai as his own wife. Abram's sin of deception against the Pharaoh caused Pharaoh to dishonor Abram and sin against him in return. And because Pharaoh thought Sarai was Abram's sister, he provided many blessings to Abram in the form of sheep, oxen, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But even as Pharaoh sought to bless Abram because of Sarai, God afflicted Pharaoh with many terrible plagues because of his sin in taking Sarai, Abram's wife, as his own. But we might remember in Genesis 12:3, God had said to Abram, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God had promised to Abram that he would bless those who blessed him and curse those who dishonored him. So Pharaoh received both blessing and cursing by God as he sought to bless Abram because of Sarai, and also dishonored him by taking his wife Sarai as his own. Pharaoh was cursed with these many plagues, but blessed because he discovered the deception of Abram against him before it was too late. God was already keeping his promises to Abram, even as he led Abram to obey him by believing in those promises. By keeping his promise to Abram, God is demonstrating that Abram's deception of Pharaoh was unnecessary because God acted to protect Abram even in his sinful actions. God keeps his promises because he is the God of truth who will never lie or deceive. He keeps his promises whether we act in obedience all the time or even when we fall into sin, as long as we are believing in him and trusting in him for his work and not depending upon our own. Genesis 12, 8 through 20 finishes the story. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Pharaoh was upset when he learned of Abram's deception. Abram had done a terrible deed against the Pharaoh, who had welcomed him and sought to bless him. He asked Abram why he had committed this sin against him, and sent Abram away from Egypt so that nothing more terrible might happen to him. Even as the book of Genesis progresses, we continue to see the results of Satan's introduction of lying and deception into the world. Even a man righteous by faith, like Abram, was affected by the fall into sin that mankind had experienced because of the father of lies. Abram's only hope and our only hope lies in the God of truth, Jesus Christ. Two applications. Without obedience to God's commandments, we will not enter heaven. But we can obey God's commandments in his word when we are believing that he is willing and able to keep his promises in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, as Abraham did, believe all the promises in his word, and through your faith, obey his commandments. The second application is similar. God calls us to do many difficult things in the path of obedience to his commands. Yet, God always provides every opportunity and resource we need to obey him. As Abraham did, use every opportunity and resource that God offers us to seek the path of obedience to what God calls us to do. By faith, obey God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, you call us to a radical obedience to you that transcends what we can see, Father, that trusts in a reality that we cannot see. None of us have seen Jesus face to face, Father. But Jesus said that in the book of John, the Gospel of John, that blessed are the ones who do not see and yet believe, Father. Abram was one of those people. He did not see, and yet he believed. Let us be people who, though we do not see our inheritance, our heavenly treasure, though we do not see face to face our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though we did not witness his resurrection, Father, let us believe in you, Father, in your Son Jesus, through the power of your Spirit, that you are the one who can give us what we do not see, the treasure that we do not see, the heavenly city that we do not see, the power that we do not see that can cause us to obey you in our lives. We are sinners. Abram was a sinner. We have sinned every bit as much as Abram. But you forgive our sins and empower us to repent of our sins and live a life of obedience to you. Father, do that for us. Help us to believe in the gospel and live in obedience. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.